Today is the third Sunday of Easter, and during the Sundays after Easter, the Gospel readings assigned, understandably, recounts the stories of Jesus' appearance to the disciples. It means, therefore, that the Gospel story for the third Sunday of Easter, taken from Luke's Gospel, bears a striking resemblance to the Gospel narrative read from John's Gospel last Sunday. In each passage, Jesus appears to the disciples. They are afraid and unbelieving. He convinces them and that he is indeed their master, their teacher, and friend raised from the dead. It may sound as though we are repeating ourselves, but as we all know, there is always new grace found in all of these accounts, even when we appear to be telling the same story, same account once again. Scholars believe that one reason for the similarity between Luke's and John's account is that both reach back to an earlier traditional account of what happened. In Luke's account of these days, just before this morning's reading, two disciples traveled to Emmaus, road to Emmaus, you all know that story, and a stranger joins them to talk about it all. That stranger, of course, turns out to be the risen Christ, revealed in the breaking of bread. Almost immediately, Cleopas and an unnamed companion, perhaps his wife, go back to Jerusalem, a 7-mile trip, to proclaim that the Lord has risen indeed. This is where our gospel passage begins this morning. So today, I would like to focus your attention on a big change in Jesus' life, which came after his bodily resurrection. The change between the life he lived before and the life after his resurrection. Jesus came back to life not to stay here permanently, physically, but he came back just for 6 weeks. He did not come back to do the things he had done in his previous life. He did not preach any sermon to a crowd. He did not appear to the multitude, and I know many of you must be thinking, he did appear to 500, and St. Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians, yes, he did, but that was the maximum. His 5,000 days were over as far as Jesus on earth was concerned. He did not do any healing miracle. He didn't cast out any demon. But one more important thing is that he appeared to those who believed in him when he was on earth. He appeared to his disciples a couple of times. When we believe in Jesus Christ, he reveals himself to us. Luke in his gospel summarizes the 6 weeks and condensed them into a single page of writing, and that page I have just read to you this morning. And in that summary, Luke singled out 4 things that Jesus did. The 4 things of which we need to be reminded. First of all, he showed them his body. All through the previous 3 years, Jesus drew a lot of attention to himself. He was always talking about himself. Strange that he should be able to say, "Learn of me, because I am a humble man." He was talking about himself, and no one ever felt that there was any contradiction to that. He said, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the way and the truth and the life." But he could say that because he is the big I am. Yehovah, I am. And yes, that's exactly who he was. And so he drew attention to himself. No great religious teacher had ever been so bold to do that. If anyone less than the Son of God, it would be offensive. But he did it with such truth and grace, such love and such humility that nobody ever considers Jesus proud. But the difference is that before he died on the cross, he always drew attention to his spiritual qualities. After his resurrection, he drew attention to his physical qualities. Before, he drew attention to that spiritual truth which could not be seen and handled. But after his resurrection, he said, "Come and see." Last Sunday in our gospel lesson, Jesus invited Thomas to come and touch him. "Put your finger through my hands. Come and put your hand in my side. Just believe that I am here in body." He says, "Look at my hands and my feet, my body, and you can handle me." And they wouldn't believe it. And he asked them what they had for supper. And they said, "Fish." They were terrified, but as they watched this supper disappear, that convinced them. The resurrection of Christ assures us that we are not heading to some kind of spirit world where we will be floating in the air. But the resurrection is a bodily resurrection with glorified body, heavenly bodies. And there will be mentions, as the book of Revelation says. One thing he never did before his resurrection was explanation, interpreting the resurrection through the lens of the scriptures. He never gave them any Bible study, so to say, before his resurrection. He taught them his book. His book was, of course, Torah, the first five books of Moses, the major and minor prophets, and the Psalms. Though he did quote scriptures before he died, when he occasionally quoted the Old Testament here and there, but he never took them through the Word. And here is a very profound lesson for Christians. Jesus told them the Old Testament was the Word of God and was the book about himself. There is a popular notion among Christians that the Christians need not to bother about the Old Testament. That is a sub-Christian book in its morals and its teachings. And if you want to find out about Jesus, read the New Testament and you will have all that you need. But if you really want to understand Jesus, it's in the Old Testament. The other day I was talking to one of my friends and we were talking about the book of Leviticus, and we were talking that so much sacrifices, you know, atonement of sin, food sacrifice, different types of sacrifices. But, I mean, we said, like, if we really want to understand Jesus, we need to, you know, see the Old Testament and find it in the New when he revealed himself, for example, in the book of Hebrews. So, somebody said, the new is hidden in the old, and the old is revealed in the new. So we need to understand that we need both the Old and the New Testament. For example, in our first reading from the book of Acts, note how Peter both connects with his hearers and connects the old and the new by calling God the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers. Peter is saying, in effect, I am not talking about some strange new God here. I'm talking about our God, the one true God who has revealed himself in the Old Testament. And you can't really understand the New Testament without understanding the Old Testament. The whole Bible is about one thing, the one true God focusing his work of salvation on Jesus. If you want to know why Jesus died on the cross, then it's the Old Testament that will tell you, that will tell us. And if you want to know why Jesus had to rise again, it's in the Old Testament. In fact, it works both ways. If you want to understand the Bible, you need to understand Jesus. We cannot understand the scriptures apart from Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Jesus took them through the Bible and opened up scriptures to them and told them what the Bible was all about. He showed them his body. He taught them his book. He asked them to be his witnesses. Jesus commissions them to bear witness to his life, death, and resurrection. He told them that the message of my death and resurrection would go out to the whole world. And that's God's will and intention, that every nation on earth should have Christians in it, that every tribe on earth should hear the good news of Jesus, and every tongue should praise the Lord. So this is God's purpose. We don't only see a big change in Jesus' life after his resurrection, but in the lives of his disciples as well. The resurrection of Christ brings change in their lives. The last thing Jesus did, he empowers them with supernatural power. Before they met Jesus, the disciples could only offer people sympathy. They could say to someone in need or in trouble, I'm really sorry for the situation. But that's all they could do. When they met Jesus, a complete change took place. And it's available for us. That's the good news. Because Jesus did not just sympathize with people. He said, Satan has bound this person, I am going to set them free. And he did something about it, releasing divine power into their lives. You see, the disciples were able to share in the power of Jesus. In fact, Jesus said, you will do greater things than I do. He would send them two by two, but they knew that he would back them up. In fact, there were times when it did not work. And they said, Lord, we were trying to heal this boy with some epilepsy. And we can't do this. We can't do anything for him. Can you help him? And Jesus stepped in and said, yes, I can help. Now, when he is going to leave, they will all go back to their old life, just offering sympathy, feeling sorry about situations. But Jesus says that the power is going to live on. The power is going to live on. You know that Jesus can do more from heaven than he could do on earth, because he is no more bound to time and space. And he was on earth, he was limited. His living will just increase the work, not decrease it. When we read the book of Acts, we notice that what Jesus did is so true. What Jesus said is so true. Today in our reading from the book of Acts, Peter said to the people who were utterly astounded to see miracle of healing of a man lame from birth. For the man on whom this sign of miracle was performed was more than 40 years old. Our reading says, Peter addressed the people. He's almost outraged that the people are focusing on John and Peter. And he said, you Israelites, why do you wonder at this? Why do you stare at us? as though by our own power and piety we had made him walk. They were operating in the power of the risen Christ. This power is available to you and me. Dear friends, the predictions in the Bible that the gospel should be preached to all nations is for us to fulfill. Some of the things that God said should happen, happened through us. Now the church is his hands and his feet. And every small way, whether we go halfway through the world or stay in Prague or wherever we are, every Christian must take part in the mission of God, that the gospel will circle the globe. The good news of Christ will reach to the people who need the most. We must pray for ministers, even if you feel that going out as a witness is a difficult thing for you. Earnestly pray for ministers who preach the word, who share the gospel. You are witnesses of these things, he says to us. Tell it, live it, become it. The resurrected life is yours. You are the witnesses. In the name of God, his Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.